Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And this is the Week of Frenzy down at the FCC. They're bringing up the big net neutrality deal.
Oh, brother.
All the vendors are in town to talk about it. I'm getting a lot of email. People want to, you know, get on the show, but...
Mm-hmm. But you don't do that.
No, I don't do that. So this is going to be an interesting showdown to see what's going to happen. Also, this was a big week for drones.
Last night, a drone almost
hit an aircraft.
We knew this was going to happen, right?
Yeah, but this guy was a bozo, and so I'm going to go, you know, talk about what he did and what he did wrong.
You know what the first thing was I thought of when I saw that? I'm like, where's Rick Schertz tonight?
That's right. We'll talk about what he did wrong, and so he definitely exercised extremely bad judgment.
Good grief! Yeah, I didn't hear the whole story. This ought to be good.
We still got some heartbleed news. So I think we have to be aware of that. And they announced the winner of Tech Crunch. This is a big, you know, new startup deal. It's Tech Crunch New York 2014. Verb.
It's nothing like Captain Crunch, right?
No, it isn't. It's Verb. Different. It's V-U-R-B.
Oh.
Do you use Verb very often?
I don't use Verb at all.
And we're going to feature the website of the week, Oyster, which is like Netflix, but for ebooks.
Oh, no kidding.
So it's kind of nice. And then, you know, we'll talk about Snapchat. You know, it turns out that you can really store those images.
You can.
So all of these inappropriate selfies that people have been sent may resurface.
So we're going to go through that. If it winds up on the internet, it's around forever.
And we're going to feature the guy who is behind Aereo TV. This is the thing that can take on the air TV and broadcast. He's got an interesting background. It's a great concept. And that is actually before the Supreme Court now, whether that's legal or not.
It's very controversial.
And of course, it was a huge, huge
giant
mailbag.
Giant.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh.
Wow.
Giant.
That was heavier than last week. I could tell by the way the counter moved. Yeah,
we got an email from Quality Woman. Now this is only Quality Women, of course, email to Tech Talk.
It's
just understood,
right?
Now this is a longtime listener. Dear Doc, I did read. Now remember, Quality Woman previously had to reset her. The Verizon account stopped working on her iMac Mail account. And I said, well, you need to read the Verizon letter because they changed all the configuration. And she says, Dear Doc, I did read the Verizon letter. You know, she's just like getting a little feedback here to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed the settings according to what their notice said. In fact, I was on the phone with the incompetent tech department of Verizon.
She doesn't sound happy.
No, she doesn't like the tech department at Verizon.
I'll bet.
I was with them on the line for over 2 hours last week.
Yikes.
On this email issue. The guy went through each of my Verizon accounts and fixed it. So when he hung up, it was all working. And then about an hour later, the same errors appeared. What can I do? I mean, do I have like a virus? This is maddening. Should I just get another email app? Should I, you know, what should I do? Should I get rid of my computer? Do I have a virus? The whole reason I moved to Apple was to remove this kind of disruption. That's not the word she used, from my life. And I'm really getting fed up with this. Thanks, Quality Woman, a longtime listener. Well, I think, first of all, I think that your email account is synchronizing with the iCloud. You know, you can store all your email settings. You can store your bookmarks and everything. So it looks to me like you change it on your iMac. And then about an hour later, you synchronize with the iCloud, and it changes it all back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. Now, you could test this. First of all, you could go to iCloud, and you could say that you don't want to store your email settings. But it's kind of convenient to have your email settings in the cloud. That's what I would look at. So you could test this. So I would get first of all, I'd get your Verizon letter. And I would open up your mail client and go to the settings area, and then reconfigure your email client. I think you should just do it by yourself. Don't get frustrated with the Verizon guys.
Sure.
It's fairly straightforward to change the settings in your mail account, and then I would look at your iCloud to see what you're synchronizing on iCloud. That's actually what I would do. I had people recently. They would make changes to their to the add-ons in their Chrome browser, and they didn't want certain add-ons. They would delete them, and then the next day they'd show up again, and it was iCloud synchronization. So it sounds like that could be your problem. So I would check on that. And my advice is you should be able to do this yourself. Don't involve Verizon Tech. It just will give you a total frustration, and I think this is a good learning opportunity for you to do it yourself. We got an email from Ken in Maryland. Dear Doc and Jim, I thought Microsoft was supposed to stop updating Windows XP back on April 2014, and this morning I had an update specifically for Internet Explorer 8 for Windows XP. Could you explain why this is so? I thought they pretty much abandoned XP. What's going on? It's hard to get away from this because there are some applications. I have to use XP because there are some applications that just won't run on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But XP. Thanks, Ken in Maryland. Well, Ken, you did not listen to Tech Talk last week. It turned out that the security hole in Microsoft Internet Explorer was so severe that Microsoft, out of the goodness of their heart, because there is some goodness in the Microsoft heart, out of the goodness of their heart, they decided to patch XP and notify all the XP users of the update that was available for Internet Explorer. And so now, I don't know why you're still on Internet Explorer 8.
Yeah.
Okay, let me...
Why are you still on Internet Explorer to begin with?
Now, here's the deal. Internet Explorer 8 does not have a sandbox, which means you're much more vulnerable. They put in a sandbox, which isolates the browser from the operating system when they came out with 9. And now we're up to 11. So I would certainly upgrade the version of Internet Explorer that you have. I would not be using 8. Now, actually, I'm thinking that... I should have read the rest of the email. No, that's my answer. I was thinking, wow, you're already on Chrome. Well, I'm actually on Chrome. Now, see, what I would...
Stop. Have some coffee. Start again.
Yeah, that's it. You know, I just got so excited over this iMac email. So here's the deal. What I've done is I've gone to Chrome.
Yeah.
Chrome is a lot faster. It has a sandbox. Now, if you really like Internet Explorer, I'd certainly go to the most recent one that XP will allow you to install. And I don't know if they're going to let you go to 11, but they might let you go to 10. But certainly you want to get above 8.
Eight
is just not secure at all.
After you use Chrome for the first time, I don't think you go back to IE.
Yeah,
right?
So I would just say just go to with Chrome. See the and then what a lot of people don't like is it's harder to manage your bookmarks in Chrome. They're like the drop down menu is a little bit more convenient than Internet Explorer.
Okay.
But you can actually, if you configure Chrome, you can get your bookmarks to be more visible. So I would move to Chrome. Certainly be moving to a more recent version of Internet Explorer. Ken, don't miss any more Tech Talks. We got an email from Arnie in Davisonville. He's a regular listener.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Doc Schertz. I saw this story on BBC and thought you'd like to see it. They were warning about unintentional file leakage for people that use services like Dropbox and Box. And there are people are inadvertently leaking their own files when they send someone a public link to their data. Arnie in Davisonville. Well, shared links in these accounts, actually a public link. There's no password protection, and they use kind of complexity. It's like a really complicated text string. They use complexity as a form of security. Now, this public link can be stored in transaction files if you're, using it, and those transaction files can be seen by others, and that's the danger. So I would suggest that if you use the public links, you might want to put a time limit on the shared link. That's an option you have. But I'm going to get into this in more detail later in the show. Arnie sent me the link to the full article, and I'll go through some of the more detail. I'll give more details on it later in the show. That was a great email, Arnie. Mm-hmm. We got an email from Lily in Fairfax. Dear Tech Talk, I think my Facebook account has been hacked. What can I do? Thanks, Lily. This is what we think we should do. If you have your Facebook hacked, you need to go to facebook.com/hacked. Facebook.com/hacked. And then there will be a button there that says, my account has been compromised. You click on that and enter your password. This is the old password. And that'll ask you a few questions, and it'll give you a chance to reset your account. And so you want to walk through that. Now, it's depending on how much damage they've already done, because they've probably reset your email account. They've probably deleted your friends. They may be changing content. What's happening now with Facebook, people are stealing accounts, and then they are sending out announcements from that account to all the friends of that account asking for money. And so that's a lot of stuff going on with this.
Yeah.
So I would do that. And once you get your account back, you want to check under apps and websites, under privacy settings, and under the apps you use, edit. And you go back to edit settings and click on the X to delete any suspicious apps that may have been used to compromise your account. You also want to alert all your friends that your account has been hacked and warn them not to click any links that the hackers who may have compromised your account may have posted. Act quickly before it's too late. And if your password is the same as on all your other things, all your other emails, which people many times use the same password, change it. Don't keep the same password everywhere, because that means they have your password
right
for everything.
Ugh.
So there, I did have a friend who, another friend whose Facebook was hacked, and then what happened was I got notification that said so and so's account has been hacked. Click on this link to verify that they're your friend so they can get it back. But that link required that I log into my account, so they were just using that to steal my password.
Yeah.
So you just really don't want to – any email that you get where you click on it and then you've got to put in a password is probably a phishing email. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go to any site that requires that you put in a password, actually go to the browser and manually type in the site. Don't just do it as a link on an email. We got an email from Jim in Bowie. Dear Tech Talk, I just purchased a Google Chromecast and cannot connect it using my Wi-Fi connection. I've installed the Chromecast application on my iPad, but it does not find the new Chromecast. What can I do? Thanks, Jim and Bowie. Well, the Chromecast, what it is, this little dongle that plugs into your TV set. It's Wi-Fi connected. And what you can do is you can say, if you've got an iPad, you can open up your Chrome browser. You can download the Chromecast application on the Chrome browser, and then what you do is that you can open up a tab in the Chrome browser, and there will be a little symbol. It's called the casting symbol. If you press that symbol, you can send whatever is displayed in that tab on the browser to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you are casting the Chrome browser to the TV, which is what's called Chromecast. So if you have Netflix, for instance, you're watching Netflix in the Chrome browser, you can send the next Netflix movie to your TV, which is, it's nicer to watch TV than watch it on, say, an iPad.
Sure.
Or on an item. But the problem is it requires that you have to talk to the Chromecast through your Wi-Fi connection. And I can tell you that when I set up Chromecast at my house, I had trouble.
Because if you had trouble.
I had trouble because of the Wi-Fi configuration of the router.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the older routers, especially, I see that you've got Verizon. Some of the older Verizon routers don't necessarily support it. And so because Chromecast requires universal plug and play, and in some of the older browsers, it's been disabled. So you want to make certain that you enable universal plug and play so that allows you to talk to the item. And so I went to the blogs, because the blogs always give you the latest ping on what's going on. And there was a guy that had had a Verizon router. And so what he did, there were three things that people are doing on the blogs, and I don't think they're quite sure what is all working. One, they turn off IGMP proxy. Then they go to advanced wireless settings and they set it to broadband. And then they go to advanced universal plug and play and they turn on universal plug and play. And so none of that worked, although people in the blogs are saying to do that. And so he went back to the advanced wireless options, and he went back and he changed it from broadband to network home office. And bingo, he was able to connect. So that's sort of what I did. I went to all these settings because everybody was a little bit unsure as to what we're, and I just started changing these settings back and forth. And finally, in one of the configurations, I got my browser to work and I got Chromecast up and running. So I think that's what you've got to do. If you've got really an old Verizon browser, it may not work. Now, what I did, wireless router, it may not work. What I actually did, I called Verizon, and the guy was actually initially extremely arrogant. He said, well, we don't support Chromecast, it's not our product, and blah, 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 blah. Because I said, look, I've got an old router, I want a new one. So I started really pushing back, and he finally went and looked it up, and he says, well, I have some data here on your router, and some people have gotten your router to work. So that's what all I needed to know. So I went back to my router and just kept playing with it. So it is possible to get some useful information from the Verizon guys.
But you got to work at it.
You got to work them over.
You work them over.
We got an email from Sam in Manassas. Dear Tech Talk, do I need more than one browser on my computer? I'm running Windows 7. I've got Internet Explorer and Firefox on my laptop. Now, when I'm accessing a video link, like in Internet Explorer, for example, I get the sound but not the picture. When I'm booking an online ticket with IE, I can't complete the process when pressing next. You must have an old version of Internet Explorer because the latest one that I've got doesn't have that problem, IE 11. On the other hand, when I open up Firefox, everything works. So do you have any suggestions? Do I need two browsers? What's the deal? Well, you really need one browser at a time. Now, actually, Sam, I have five browsers on my laptop. I've got IE, Internet Explorer, I've got Chrome, I've got Firefox, well, I've got Opera, and I've got Safari.
That's because you're basically a mobile testing lab for everything.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I bring up the Stratford website in all five of those browsers, and I check for browser compatibility. Because you see, all the browsers, kind of this standards issue, you know, the browsers actually they're all supposed to meet the standards, but they meet all the standards with various levels of success. Mm-hmm. And so what I try to do is I try to see how the Stratford website or any other public websites that Stratford has, how they look in all five browsers. So I keep all five.
That's true, because sometimes you go and download a page from something and embedded material looks different.
They actually format quite differently. And mm-hmm. I also, when I'm on Internet Explorer, I'll do both the normal view as well as the compatibility mode view. Now, you actually don't need five. Now, first of all, I'm really not a great fan of Firefox now because they don't have a sandbox.
Ah.
You know, Firefox, it's open source. I mean, there's a lot of emotional support for it. But but the basic security framework of Firefox was before the days of the sandbox. Now, a sandbox is where the browser in its own little compartment, and if you compromise the browser, you can't get control of the operating system because it's in the sandbox. And so, for instance, Internet Explorer 8 and earlier didn't have a sandbox, and Microsoft finally put the sandbox in with Internet Explorer 9. Chrome, which is more recent browser, it came right out of the chute with a sandbox. So I'm actually thinking, if I were you, I'd just go to Chrome. I wouldn't use Firefox after looking at all the security issues with Firefox. Internet Explorer is getting better and better and better each year. Microsoft is working on it. But, you know, Chrome is fast and it's convenient. So,
and it's safe.
And it's safe. You can also – and you can use Chromecast. So so that's what I do now. You may have another you may keep Internet Explorer there because maybe something doesn't display quite right in Chrome because it was – you see, Internet Explorer's got some unique features, and certain websites have been written to look good in Internet Explorer. And they basically break the standards to do that because IE is not always perfectly in alignment with the standard. So maybe there'll be a website that doesn't look perfect in Chrome, and you may want to have IE there. So I'd use those two, but I'd use definitely something. I'd use the latest IE, IE 11, but you don't really need. Theoretically, you're going to find one that you like, and you're just going to keep it. Well, listen, we love all your yes.
I have a quick question. I've never used Opera. Do you like it?
It's okay.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it that much.
Okay. There you go. Well, that answers that. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. It is. It started out as an open source, and then there's a community which is developing Opera, but it doesn't have the horsepower behind it that Firefox and Chrome and IE have. So it's not. I don't think it's keeping up.
But and if you're using an Apple device, you're kind of stuck with Safari, right?
You're stuck with. Although, you can download Chrome for Apple.
Can you really?
Yeah, like on the iPad, you can download the Chrome browser. If
I
you
didn't
want.
Know that.
Yeah, you're not always stuck with Safari.
I've never had a problem with Safari.
I don't have any problem with Safari, but the
do,
other
do they
but
have
the
a
other,
sandbox?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm going to check on that. I'll check whether Opera and Safari.
See,
have a sandbox.
The unwashed bring that interesting questions.
That is a very good question. We love your emails. Send us emails to techtalk@stratford.edu.
This is Saturday morning, of course, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. Stand by. We're just getting started. More Tech Talk coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Masters in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tysons Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to talk about Chetanya Kanoji.
Can we just call him Chet?
Chet would be that's what he
that's what his friends call him.
Yeah, when he moved to the U.S., he's Chetanya. See, he was a Chetanya, and he said, "No, just call me Chet."
That's what his mom calls him Chetanya.
Chetanya Kanoji, yes. Let's call him Chet. Okay, Chet Kanoji is founder and CEO of Aereo TV, a revolutionary TV service that puts over-the-air TV signals on the net for a low subscription price, around $8 a month.
Okay.
Chet Kanoji was born in 1971 in Bhopal, India. He grew up in an upper-middle-class household in Bhopal, where his families were so conscious of his future that they only spoke English instead of the native Urdu. According to Kanoji, he's a self-described backbencher in his youth, and he spent too much time smoking and drinking and too little time studying his hometown.
He just
wasn't engaged with all of that lecture and memorization there in Bhopal. But his friends disagree with him. They say he's actually understating himself, and this is, you know, he's very modest, but he's very driven now. But I suppose he feels like he probably should have studied more when he was in grade school and high school. After the Union Carbide chemical leak in 1984, I don't know if you remember that.
That was the first thing I thought of when you said Bhopal, India.
It killed thousands in Bhopal. Now, as a youth, he was responsible for going around and changing the oxygen tanks for the dying.
Wow.
And he would routinely discover and recover dead bodies.
Mm.
He felt quite lucky that he lived upwind because all the death was downwind, of course, from the plant. Now, after his father's heart attack and while his dad was recovering, he and his dad would go on long walks. And his dad, walking was part of his dad's therapy, and Chet would actually, his dad didn't call him Chet. His dad called him Chaitanya, I have to say. He was still Chaitanya then. He'd go on long walks with his dad, and they would talk about classic Hindu principles, how to lead a Vedic life, and they talk about yoga practice, the meaning of life, mm-hmm. priorities. And Chet said these talks with his father over a period of years had a big impact on, and it changed and molded his values. Katanja, he moved to the U.S. in 19. Kanaja moved to the U.S. in 1991 after he got his BTEC in mechanical engineering from Bhopal. Now, when he moved to the U.S., he changed his first name to Chet. He enrolled in Northwestern University for a Master of Science in Computer Science Engineering, and he finished that a little bit later. But he sort of, had a few jobs here and there. But in 1991, he really wanted to be an entrepreneur. He founded Navic Networks, NAVIC Networks. And in Navic Networks, they studied television viewing habits in order to optimize television advertising. He worked at that for 9 years, and 9 years later, that would have been 2008, he sold it to Microsoft for $230 million. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all for Chet, yeah. Then in 2011, a couple or 3 years after he had sold his Navic Networks to Microsoft, he started Aereo in June of 2011, and he had some help with some powerful backers, including the media mogul Barry Diller. Now, this thing just grew through word of mouth. Now, Aereo is a legal way to stream network TV straight to viewers online. Each viewer has their own small antenna attached to a cloud-based digital recording device, DVR. So what he does, you see, according to the copyright rules, he would not be allowed to have one giant antenna,
mm-hmm.
pick up the signal, and then redistribute the content to everyone. That would be a violation of copyright because they're restreaming the data and reselling it. That's why cable companies are paying over-the-air television broadcastings up to $3 billion a year for the right to retransmit their items.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the law, if you have your own antenna, you're able, in fact, to receive it yourself.
Right.
So what he did, he made a little antennas that are about 1 inch square.
Okay.
And he packed them in high density on these circuit boards, and he put these circuit boards on the roof of the data center. So he's not redistributing content to users. He's renting an antenna to the user.
Uh-huh.
So every user is renting a little 1-inch square antenna on top of the data center. You see, and you can control your antenna remotely.
Theoretically, it's legitimate, right?
It's legitimate. And so he's actually won every court case so far. And these powerful micro antennas receive HD network broadcasts, and they stream them to the viewers. And he charges $8 a month, not for the content, but to rent the antenna.
I'm looking at a picture. They're the size of a dime.
Yeah, the size of a dime. Isn't that interesting?
That's amazing.
And now, the broadcasting industry is just up in arms.
Of course.
They don't want to lose $3 billion a year, which they think that could happen. And you see what right now, and the cable companies don't like it, because a lot of times people just subscribe to these stinking bundles because they want to have over-the-air TV. So the cable companies are thinking, wait a minute here. If you can get over-the-air TV for $8 a month and you can subscribe to Netflix for $8 a month, for $16 a month, you can just dump the whole content.
Sure.
So so this is actually a highly disruptive technology that is scaring the living daylights out of the cable providers and the over-the-air TV providers.
Yeah.
Now, he claims that he's totally within the law based on the Communications Act of 1934, in which Congress created the Federal Communications Commission, and they granted free of charge access, TV station access to the airwaves. But they said, we're going to give you this access under one condition, that people can pull the data all out of the air with their own antenna, and you won't charge them. So he says, look, I'm covered. So far, the courts have been on Aereo's side. He's won every court case so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's now at the Supreme Court. It's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. They've made their presentation to the Supreme Court. Now we're waiting for the court to issue a ruling. Now, and he expects that it's going to be favorable, but, you know, of course, he's sitting on pins and needles. Because if he loses this case, the whole basis of Aereo is going to go down the toilet.
Yeah, really.
And he's raised $17 million to sort of launch this thing. Now, his favorite music is Fleetwood Mac. I think you'd want to know that. And he also loves indie pop from the 80s.
I'm not familiar with that.
I don't know, indie pop. You know, indie pop music, yeah. He has a wife and two children. They live in their Newton, Massachusetts home. He returns there on the weekends to watch hockey games and supervise the engineering aspects of the company, which is still based there in Newton, Massachusetts. I think he's down in New York now because that's where all the action is.
Sure.
Actually, New York was the first place where they launched this service. And it's now launched in about, you can go to Aereo.com. You can just look up Aereo TV and go to their website. It gives a list of the cities that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
They're scheduled to come to Washington, D.C. in the near future. But as of today, they are not in Washington, D.C. But they started in New York, and they're in about 11 other cities.
What I'm trying to figure out, I'm looking over here at pictures of the Aereo device.
Uh-huh.
So it's this little, it looks like a little spiky thing that sticks into a circuit board.
A circuit board.
So what do you have at home? Is that what you have at home to in order to pick up the TV, or does this thing exist somewhere else?
No, it exists somewhere else. It exists in,
so you're renting your little spike in their circuit board that lives someplace else.
So what he does, the circuit boards with the little antennas on them,
okay,
are in a circuit board housing, which is on the roof of the data center.
And then
so
you get it through
the
cloud.
So the signals can come in.
So you then get it from the cloud.
And so then what happens is that then comes down to you, and you own that, you rent that antenna.
That little antenna
then,
in their circuit board.
And that,
I gotcha.
And the streaming content from that antenna comes directly to you. You also are renting a DVR in the cloud. So if, say, you don't want to watch a particular show, you'll save that to your own personal DVR and watch it when you want.
This is where I think it gets to be a sticky wicket. So it's your antenna, but it's not located at your house. That's probably where the argument is, don't you
think?
That
is, but the Communications Act didn't say where the antenna's located. They just said
your own
antenna.
Your own antenna.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I actually think he's got a case here.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
And
you know, the crazy thing is, you know, the TV stations are, you know, broadcast media is always scrambling for bucks. Advertising mm-hmm. dollars are so fragmented now. This could take a significant chunk out of what these people make, and it could affect local programming down the road.
Well, you could also say that people that have antennas in their home, 54 million people have antennas in their home.
Sure.
You could say the same thing.
That's a very good point.
They actually sell advertising, which is how they pay for it. So this $3 billion is just gravy. And so I actually think that what I think the issue here
mm-hmm.
is bundling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
true.
Know, sort of the analogy was back before iTunes, and you'd buy an album, and there'd be two good songs on the album, but you'd have to buy 10 songs.
It's the same concept, right?
And so they would bundle songs and put 10 crappy songs on with two good ones. I mean, that was the deal. And then iTunes came out, and they started selling songs individually, and
mm-hmm.
there was an uproar, because then it just totally changed that model. But in the end, it was better for the consumer. So we've got the same bundling deal now. There might be two channels that you like, and you're buying 15 stinky channels that go with the two good ones.
Exactly.
It's the same deal. Well, and so this is going to kill bundling.
And that doesn't break my heart because it's the cable companies, quite honestly. But, you know, the thing about iTunes, it'd be interesting to see because now you don't have to buy a whole crappy album to get two songs.
Yeah.
You could theoretically, more people could buy the good song that they want. So for the artist in the long run, it probably works out just about the same because more people would have access to a specific track.
Here's the deal. It works out better for the artist because the albums weren't so honest with their accounting.
Ah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so see, now it's
transparent.
You pick
bingo,
one,
you sell
you're
one song and the artist is getting so the artists are a lot better off. The record companies are getting squeezed.
Uh-huh.
So the internet for the artists have been much, much, much better. So what's gonna happen is that I think we're gonna unbundle cable, and a lot of these loser cable channels are just gonna bite the dust. That's what's gonna happen. So I think this is actually quite good because I'm thinking if I could get on the air TV for $8 a month, I get Netflix for $8 a month, I probably don't need any any of the cable stuff. So I think this is actually good. I think this is the kind of disruptive force that improves things. So
it's survival of the fittest.
So I hope he wins it. There you go. Chet Kanojia. So he was the CEO of Aereo TV.
Fascinating stuff. Hope you're paying attention because you can display your knowledge in just a moment and win a great prize. Stand by for the pop quiz on Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome back to Classroom of the Airways, sometimes known as a radio show.
Sometimes, but very infrequently.
Very infrequently. And, of course, if it's a classroom, you have to take an assessment or a pop quiz. If you get the right answer to the pop quiz, you win two tickets to Fine Dining at the Escoffier Dining Room at either in Falls Church or at the Krim Dining Room in Woodbridge. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Chaitanya Kanojia. Chaitanya Kanojia, he's also called Chet. He's the founder and CEO of Aereo TV. What job did he perform while he was living in Bhopal, India? Fairly unpleasant job.
Yeah,
but it's a job that affected him, you know, his attitude toward life for a long time to come. If you get the right answer to that, you get two tickets to Fine Dining. All you have to do is contact us here in the studio. How do they do that, Jim?
Well, that's a great question, because I would just pick up my phone. That's what I would do. And if you're calling from west of Bhopal, India, it would be 877-936-9333, plus, of course, the international code. And then if you're calling from east of Newton, Massachusetts, 877-936-9333. For everybody else, the wildcard line is 877-936-9333. But I'm sure you have other ideas.
That's right. If you're calling in from Sipadan Island in Indonesia, where they've got the best scuba diving in the world, you can reach us on Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and your phone call will be forwarded directly to the studio, free of charge.
Okay.
So there we go. Amazon and Netflix are defending net neutrality. The big names have gathered together. They've signed a letter protesting the proposed neutrality rules at the FCC. And the FCC is considering them this week at its May 15th meeting. This is the big week. So all of the big internet companies are in town. Now, Amazon's come out against the FCC purported plan to divide the internet into a faster and slower lane. And, of course, users pay a premium to be on the faster lane. And they don't like this. Amazon has joined a list of more than 100 firms, including Netflix, which really needs this because they got to deliver streaming movies, BitTorrents. Get this, even the National Association of Realtors has signed off to be against net neutrality. Of course, that's because they stream video of houses that they're selling. Other signatories include Facebook, Google, Kickstarter, Twilio, Code Academy, OpenDNS, Zynga, Tumblr, Reddit, Foursquare. The letter protests the FCC's plan to implement net neutrality rules that could let ISPs charge content providers like Netflix or Amazon to deliver their packets faster or at a higher quality. Already, Netflix is paying Comcast a little bonus in order to get their stuff delivered faster. The proposed change in rules, which comes after the original net neutrality rules implemented in 2010, were struck down by the Federal Court of Appeals earlier this year, has caused the tech and media world to freak out. They're worried about the death of the open internet. So the FCC is trying to say, well, it really doesn't matter, but nobody believes it. So I hope that they can maintain this, because once you start bifurcating the web into faster and slower, I think we're going to have real issues that could potentially, you know, be a disadvantage to startup companies that, you know, that need the bandwidth to deliver their product.
Well, nobody has raised their hand in the virtual classroom yet. So, Doc, yes, if you would please ask the question
earlier
one more
in the
time.
Show, we talked about Chet Kanojia, who is the CEO of Aereo TV. When he was growing up, there was a disaster in Bhopal, India, and he had a particular job related to that disaster. What might that have been?
It is time now to put your pencils down and pass your virtual test forward by calling 877-936-9333 with the answer. Again, 877-936-9333.
Now, according to security researcher Robert Graham, 1 month after the critical Heartbleed vulnerability was first revealed, there are still more than 300,000 servers that are vulnerable to this bug.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Graham arrived at this number by doing a global internet scan. He found a full 1.5 million servers that still support the Heartbeat feature of OpenSSL, and exactly 318,239 systems had not been updated and were still vulnerable. Now, this number only these are only the confirmed cases. There may still be other ones that he wasn't able to get because they were being blocked or because the OpenSSL was set up in an unorthodox way. Now that the bug has been revealed, it's fairly simple to carry out an attack. Now, major services like Google and all the big guys have actually patched their servers. And but once this vulnerability is taken advantage of, attackers can use it to steal private data, eavesdrop on passwords, and all this sort of thing. So most of these servers are probably with smaller companies without a, you know, sophisticated IT department. So if you work for a smaller company, make certain that your IT department is aware of this and that they've patched your servers, because that's probably where most of these vulnerabilities are.
Gotcha. I think we now have somebody on the line. Let us go to, bear with me 1 second here while we get stuff squared away. We're going to go to line number two. This would be Gary calling from Falls Church, Virginia. Gary, you with us? Hello, Gary? Gary, can you hear us?
We might have.
Let's try this one more time.
A telephonic problem here.
We might have a telephonic problem. Gary, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Oh, hi. Oh, sorry about that. That was my fault. Yeah, usually
so it
was is.
So it was an operator problem.
Of course,
as opposed
well,
to a
you
telephonic
know.
Problem.
No, it was definitely operator error. Technology is infallible.
Okay, earlier in the show, we were talking about the founder of Aereo TV, Chet Kanojia. He had a particularly unpleasant job while he lived in Bhopal, India. What might that job have been?
Gary? Gary went away. So, all right. So you've just heard the question again. Gary's gone.
That could be a telephonic problem.
That could be a telephonic problem. So call us back. You just heard the question. our guy Chet had a nasty job growing up. It had to do with the Bhopal disaster. Call us at 877-936-9333 if you have the answer to that question. Meanwhile, we should take a break. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio. 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Stand by. We will be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Master's in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology.
Yeah, you know, I think people have already gone on summer break because they have turned off their thinking caps
and
everything.
Yeah, I think we should.
So we have like an alternate essay question here.
That's right. So we'll have an alternate question. What kind of music did Chet like to listen to?
Yes.
While he was back there in India. Actually, he still likes to listen to the music today.
Yeah. So, okay. So, if you get
that
the answer.
That would be a second question.
That's
in addition
a second
to
question.
This unpleasant job that
so
he had.
So, if you know either one, call us. It's 877-936-9333.
Let's talk about the winner of the TechCrunch Disrupt, Verb, V-U-R-B. Now, there were 27 startups that took the stage to present things. There were six finalists. They were Boomerang Commerce, ISI Technology, Mimi, Mink, ShowKit, and Verb, V-U-R-B. Verb was the winner. Now, that's a web and mobile contextual search engine. When you type a query in Verb, you get everything you need without having to leave the search engine. Now, the company's rolling out searches for places, movies, media, will soon launch with people, startups, and others. For example, if you search for a film, you get a trailer, you get show times, you get reviews, you get a link to watch the movie on Netflix, you get the IMDb score, and you get more. It's all assembled just for you. So that's a nice thing. Now, I tried to log on to Verb. You know, you go to Verb, it's like a search engine, but it's a beta. So I put in my email address to have the rights to, you know, use the beta version, and they said my future spot is reserved. So I actually haven't had a chance to use it personally yet.
Gotcha. Still no winners. Tell me about Oyster. This looks really interesting.
Now, Oyster is bringing the Netflix model to ebooks. So, you know, with Netflix, you pay $7.99 a month, soon to go to $8.99 a month because of this the fact that they got to pay for, you know, for the high speed lane. And so what you do is you pay so much a month and you get all the books you can read. So now Oyster has raised $17 million. They now have 500,000 titles that are available, and they just signed new deals with HarperCollins, Chronicle, and Wiley. And they've got iPad and iPhone applications, which were actually debuted originally October of 2013. With 500,000 titles, Oyster is about ready to exceed Amazon's own Kindle lending library, which currently sits at 500,000 titles. Now, Oyster wants to combine social networking, so you can, as you're reading books, it's you share it with your social network, and then your friends can see what you're reading, you can see what your friends read, you can see what your friends recommend, and this social networking might give you a hint as to what book you want to read next. Now, I got a trial membership. It's actually something like $9 a month.
Okay.
$9 a month, and so I got a 1 month trial membership, and I'll tell you, the books are pretty nice, but there are no books, new release books that are just out. These are all books that might be last year's bestsellers, okay, or the bestsellers from 4 years ago. It's just like with Netflix, you don't get the first run movies. You get the movies that maybe were popular a few years ago. So if you don't mind being about 2 years lagging in what you're reading, it's not a problem because you read all the books you want. It's all you can eat for $9 a month. It's kind of a nice deal. Go to Oyster, OYSTER.com, and get a free account. Check it out and then sign up for it for $9 a month.
Now, the problem here is that the Kindle is the ultimate book reader device. So yeah. You can't use this on your Kindle. You have to use it on your Apple device, right?
Well, yeah, but you'd have to use it on – I wonder if they have an application that would download to the Kindle. They actually have an iPhone and an iPad app, so you're going to have to use it on your iPhone or your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, I'm reading Kindle books on my iPad because I downloaded the Kindle application for my iPad.
But the problem is, like, if you want to go to the beach, it's tough to read your iPad on the beach, right?
Yeah, it's harder to read it on the beach, yeah. And it's more subject to getting stolen than
a
Kindle.
Point. Exactly. Okay.
Kindle.
Wait a minute. Hold on. That's the wrong music. I want to play this music instead. Let's go to line one. This is Ken. Ken, please be here. Hi, Ken. Ken, how you doing? Hi. Dr. Schertz.
Okay, earlier in the show, we were talking about Chet Kanogia, CEO of Aereo TV. What job did he have when he was growing up in Bhopal? Or else, what kind of music did he listen to?
Well, changing air tanks for patients and also indie pop and I forgot the other group.
Oh, well,
you got it all.
You got it all.
You got both answers. Very good. Great. You got two tickets to Fine Dining, the Escoffier Dining Room. We'll get that email out to you next week. Just give your name and number to Andrew.
Our adjunct professor for crowd control and prize distribution. Thank you very much for listening, Ken. Hang on the phone, and Andrew will be right with you. This is Tech Talk Radio. You were listening to us on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, and 107.7 FM HD2. Stand by. Our last segment this Saturday on Tech Talk comes up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn by doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. You know, Snapchat is that particular chat technique that has what they call ephemeral chats. You send a chat and then it disappears in 10 seconds.
Right.
Or you send a picture and it disappears in 10 seconds.
Disappears.
Now, here's the problem.
It doesn't disappear.
It may not disappear. And your Snapchat selfie may, in fact, resurface. So there were a lot of people that were sending fairly inappropriate selfies, thinking that they were just going to disappear. They're just going to be there for 10 seconds and gone. Poof.
Wrong.
But the developers behind Snapchat have agreed to a settlement with the Federal Trade Commission over allegations of collecting and mishandling user data. The commission said that it has agreed with Snapchat to a set of measures that will place the company, that will be placed within the company and will include regular monitoring of the company's operations for the next 20 years.
Yikes.
The settlement will put to rest complaints filed by the FTC alleging that the company misled consumers when it claimed to offer self-deleting photos that could not be stored long-term. The FTC noted that in addition to enabling third-party applications to store Snapchat photos, so they actually enabled third-party apps that could grab the photo and store it.
Mm.
The company kept data outside of the app sandbox and failed to disclose its geolocation tracking practices to users. So not only did they have, like, maybe the photo, but they also knew where the photo was taken.
Yikes.
Yeah. Now, if a company, according to the FTC, if a company markets privacy and security as a key selling point in pitching its service to customers, it's critical that it keep those promises, according to FTC Chairwoman Edith Ramirez. The complaint also references Snapchat's January data breach, in which the company admitted to exposing 4.1 million user record account details. Snapchat, meanwhile, has admitted to making mistakes in handling data in dealing with end users, and it says that it's going to get better in the future.
Real quick, because we're running out of time, got to hear about the drone.
Oh, yeah, the drone. This was the thing. There was a near collision between a drone and a passenger plane. Federal officials said that a U.S. jet airliner nearly collided in March with an airborne drone in the sky over Tallahassee, Florida. Jay Williams of the FAA said the unmanned the FAA acknowledged the incident on Thursday of this last week. The near collision was reported to air traffic controllers March 22nd by a pilot of the American Airlines Group as it approached the Tallahassee runway en route from Charlotte, North Carolina. The pilot said the drone was at an altitude of 2,300 feet.
What?
2,300 feet and 5 miles northeast of the airport.
That's crazy.
The FAA has investigated the incident, but the statement that released on Friday said it was unable to identify the pilot or the drone's operator.
That's interesting because there really is no way with it.
2,300. Now, I can only take my drone up to 1,100 feet.
Well, apparently you need an upgrade.
But I'll tell you one thing. I am not going to fly my drone around an airport. I mean, the guy's sitting there in the landing path. And here's the danger. If the drone, which has a lot of metal and it's got that heavy battery in it,
yeah,
if it would go into the engine,
it would take an engine out.
It would take the engine out. And the plane is like coming right down. So it is dangerous. So I don't like idiots like that because they may force a reduction in my drone abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, the show's almost over. We love Tech Talk, and we particularly like your emails. Send us your emails to techtalk@stratford.edu. We'll cover them on the show. Also, check out the courses at Stratford University by going to stratford.edu and let them know that you heard about Stratford on Tech Talk Radio.
If you tuned in late or would like to hear the show over, it'll be rebroadcast today at 4 o'clock. See you next week here on Tech Talk Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com.
Nats in the A's on the air beginning at 8:30 tonight here on Federal News Radio. And right now outside our studio, 75 going up to 80 with showers today. It is 10 a.m. This